Numbers chapter 6 this morning, and have more of a devotional style message for you that I'd like to present to you. So I see some hugs going on over here. Yeah, this is great, isn't it? So seeing God's favor and God's love. Thank you, Michelle, for sharing your heart and just being real. You know, we think it's important to be real. The Bible says to love without masks, and it's easy to come into church and put on a face, say everything's great, everything's wonderful, and God really wants us to be real. We say we want to be real, raw, and righteous. You can be real and be a jerk. That's not very helpful, but so he wants you to be righteous as well, but to be raw and to deal with where we've been. And, you know, the past impacts us, but it doesn't have to control us. And we can put that off and put on the new man and let God do a work in our life. And, you know, a lot of times when people come in and visit church, maybe hadn't been in church in a while, they feel like everybody's got their act together and they're the only ones that kind of life is messed up. And the reality is all of us are messed up in some areas of our life, aren't we? And so I'm glad that you're here. We don't come to church because we're perfect. We come because we're not perfect and we realize it. We need God in our life. We need his favor. We need his grace. We need his guidance in our life. And so I want to share just a great little passage, and it's called the Aaronic Blessing or the Priestly Blessing in Numbers chapter 6, and I'm going to read this to us beginning in verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say unto them, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." I want to speak this morning. I titled it, God Bless You. Dear Father, we ask for your blessing today. We need your blessing so we can bless others. We need your blessing because we can't do it without you. We need your help as individuals, as families here, as a church, a community. God, as we think of Veterans Day and we think of our country, often we say, God bless America, and we truly need your blessing. We need that upon this church. We need that in each one of our lives. And I pray that we would draw close to you today because of who you are, and that we can understand who we are in you, that we would believe what you say and not what we think, not what others have said about us, but we would accept who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin the message in possibly a way you've never heard a message begin before, but I'd like to talk about sneezing, all right? So if you haven't been around here, I'm kind of weird. My illustrations will be a little bit weird. So when somebody sneezes, what do we say? God bless you, right? Now, sometimes we've heard people say Gesundheit, right? But which is, I guess, the German word for health. I've kind of researched sneezing a little bit this week. And so a lot of different cultures have different terms that they may say. But as Americans, we've said, God bless you. And that history goes back so far. The reality is a lot of debate where it came from and a lot of superstition. Some said, well, when you sneeze, your heart stops beating. And so at least that's what was thought many years ago. And so people would say, God bless you. Or people thought a strong sneeze would be sending your soul out of your body. And so you need to say, God bless you, to get it back into your body. Something along those lines. Or you're closest to death the moment of sneezing. And so people say, God bless you. Or even an early pope during a terrible disease, when people were sneezing, they were afraid they were going to die. And so he told people to say, God bless you. And so I don't know where that phrase came from, but I do know it's a good idea for God to bless us, isn't it? God bless you. It shouldn't be just a little phrase that says, oh man, don't sneeze all over me or something along those lines, but it really is the idea of asking for God's favor on the lives of other people. That's why we came to church today, isn't it? We want the blessings of God. That's why we pray. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we try to do what we do. I have a pastor friend. He's a Presbyterian and a little more formal than I would be. But he does something beautiful at the end of their church gatherings, and he prays this priestly prayer. And I've been to some meetings that he has led, and I actually had a meal over at my house with some pastors, and I forgot, but I really wanted him to just pray this blessing over this group of pastors that we were getting with, but because it's just so powerful when he stood up and said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And like, wow. Man, that's what we want, isn't it? We want the blessing of God in our life. And in this passage, it says, the Lord bless, the Lord make, the Lord lift up his countenance. It's used multiple times because God is saying, hey, I am trying to make sure you understand this. I really want to emphasize that I am your source, that I'm the only one that can provide these things for you. I don't know about you, but I've talked to many Christians over the years. Their view of God is that God is this angry divinity up in heaven, just waiting for people to mess up so he can send a lightning bolt down to them. Some people were afraid to partake of communion or to even walk in the church doors. You know, so if I walk in the church, this place is going to collapse. Or, you know, I don't want God's judgment on me. And so concerned about that here's this divine being that's just looking for us to mess up. But the reality is God wants to bless us. He, as our Father, wants good things to happen in our life. He's not looking for reasons to punish us. And maybe it's because of a strict upbringing, or maybe you were part of a legalistic church, but how we view God and how we view ourselves is vital to our Christian growth. And I hope you leave today just thinking this one thought, that God wants to bless you. God really desires to bless the teenagers in this church, the young people in our church, adults, our senior adults. God is for us. We just sang that a few minutes ago. He wants to bless us. Over the last couple of weeks, the staff and I, we've been talking about the holidays and getting ready for the different events, and Thanksgiving's just right around the corner. And thinking about that, I've just kind of spent some time thinking about people that I'm grateful for. And today being our church anniversary, I look back and just think of people that were in our church many years ago and people that are in our church currently that just do all kinds of things. There were people around here before 8 o'clock yesterday morning working on the grounds, cleaning some things up, and I really appreciate that team. There were people here close to, to Sunday morning around here last night as well. Somebody sent me a text out. They'd just gotten home about midnight working on some things. And so a lot of people do so many things around here, whether they're working in the nursery or they're serving with our teenagers, our children's church, whether they're teaching on Wednesday nights or coming to practice to bless us in worship, or they work behind the scenes to make sure that we have a volume or we have a place to sit, or they greet us as we come in or provide a cup of coffee. You know, we are just very blessed as a church for so many people that do so many things. And so I'm just very thankful. And I think, you know, we cannot do this without you. And certainly we cannot do what we do without God. We need his blessing in our lives. And so from this passage, as I've just kind of been dwelling on it throughout this week, I have two simple thoughts I want to give you. And the first is simply this: we need God's blessing. I mean, if we are going to live a successful life, a life of peace and satisfaction in this life, we need his blessing. I just want to look at some of the words here. Look at verse 24 here, where it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." To bless you means he keeps doing good. It has a reference to the goodness of God. We were just singing about blessing God, right? And the idea of blessing God means we bow down before him so we can exalt him and lift him up. When it's talking about God blessing up, it means the king sits on the throne, comes down, and he comes to where we are so we can have his blessings. He doesn't have to come to us. We are called to come to him, right? But just because he's such a gracious God, he comes down off of his throne, and Jesus came to this world. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and remind us of our identity. God the Father cares about every one of us, and he wants the good, and he says, I want to bless you. I want goodness in your life. I want to prosper you. I want you to continually progress in your Christian walk. And not only do I want to bless you, I want to keep you as well. The idea of that is he wants to keep us from evil, to keep us from adversity, to keep us from sin. He wants to protect us. He wants to guard us. I have 4 children, and I've always felt it's, you know, my responsibility to protect them, right? We are to protect our kids. We're to care for our kids. We're to help them. We want the best for them. And God, as our Heavenly Father, keeps us as well. He wants to bless us. He wants to keep us. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you. His face is referring to his countenance. When we think of a face, it shows a lot about who we are. If somebody is not happy with somebody, you can normally tell it how, because of their face. Maybe they don't give them very good eye contact. Maybe they have a look on their face. Maybe you can tell there's some kind of a distance between you and this person, but you can kind of look at their face, right? And priestly prayer that they're praying is, may the Lord's face shine upon you. The opposite of his face shining upon us is this idea of God setting his face against us. It's a reference to judgment. So when God sets his face toward us, his face shining upon us, it means he wants to bless us. It's just further acknowledging what we're already looking at, the idea of him doing good for us and keeping us. He accepts us in his light. He delights in us. You look at your children or your grandchildren or the person that you've married, you look at them and you delight in them. You love them. You appreciate them. And your face lights up. That's what God does when he looks at us. May his face shine upon us. That's how much he loves you. He appreciates you. I mean, if he were to pull out his wallet, he would open it up and say, look, this is my child right here. I'm proud of them. And often I will ask people, how do you view God and how do you view yourself? And then I kind of wrap that up and I say, how do you think God views you? And maybe you can answer that question right now. How do you think God views you right now where you are in your life? Oh, man. Man, if you knew where I was last night, or if you knew some of the stuff that I've been doing behind the scenes, or if, man, if you knew what was going on in my mind or my heart, the way I feel about other people or some of the emotions I'm going through, man, and God knows that. I know he's not happy with me. And the reality is, if we feel God is not happy with us, we're going to reject him. We're thinking, man, if God rejects us, we're not going to move toward him. But the reality is, his face is shining upon us. If you are his child, he loves you. He wants the best for you, and he wants his grace to be upon us. The word grace means his favor or his kindness to an inferior. Grace is something we don't deserve. Grace is something God gives us in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our faults. That's the idea of God blessing us. He desires to bless us. Verse 26 says this, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. It's very similar to the face shining. It's the idea of turning your face toward. God is paying attention to you. He cares about where you are. He wants a relationship with you as a father to his child. And it's interesting. It says, the Lord lift up his face or draw his face toward you. Guess who takes the first action? It's not you cleaning your life up and straightening up and say, man, if I ever get good enough, I'm going to start going to church. If I ever start doing that, I'm going to start praying. No, he takes the first step. It's the Lord that lifts up his countenance. He takes that step. He comes after us when we're down, when we have walked away from him. He still comes after. He sets his face toward us. He wants a relationship with us. And then he says he wants to give us peace. Peace is the word shalom. It's the way Jewish people would greet one another. They would say shalom. We know it means peace, but it means much more than the absence of problems. The word means to be satisfied, well-being, to have good health, to be safe, to be happy. It's the idea of prosperity, even the idea of our salvation. It's asking for somebody's safety, and ultimately the greatest safety of all is our spiritual safety, our salvation. That's what this blessing is about, and that's what God desires to give us. And when we don't have it, it's because we are resisting all that He has for us. It doesn't mean He's going to give us everything we want. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy. It doesn't mean everybody's going to like us and life's just going to be easy. But it means that He will be with us and we can have His favor even when others aren't there. Even when others aren't for us. God is for us. And if He is for us, remember what Romans says, who can be against us? That's how much He cares for us. We need the blessing of God in our life. And after this priestly blessing here, verse 27, he says, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. When the priest was offering this blessing to the people, then he said, then I am going to bless this nation. Now, here we are in the book of Numbers. And it's always important to look at where a passage is in the Bible and understand it. And where we are in Numbers, the children of Israel in the book of Exodus had left slavery. They had gone through all kind of persecution, and God, through Moses, delivered them out of Egypt, and they're headed toward the Promised Land. And all they are is just these tribal people, all these individuals with doing nothing significant on their own, and God is trying to get them into the Promised Land, and they were going to become a strong military force. But at this point, they're not that. And they need the blessings of God. They need God to guide them. They need to see God as His creator, as their Lord, that He's the one in control, and He's the only one that can truly bless them. So here's something I'd like you to consider doing today. In the busyness of life, as you get ready for your work week or you have some kind of a Veterans Day event going on, and you know you're busy and you're doing chores around the house or taking care of the kids or whatever, all that you have to do, going shopping today or something, or Veterans Day, I don't know, beds are always on sale or something like that, right, for Veterans Day, I don't know, something strange always goes on there, but anyway, whatever you got planned in the busyness of your schedule, would you just stop and take a couple minutes and ask for God's blessing in your life? Ask God to really bless you. I mean, we cannot do this without Him. We can't live a successful Christian life. The Christian life is not proving to God how strong we are, but the reality, it's in our weakness that His strength is revealed. And so ask for Him to bless you today, upon you, upon your family, upon your church, upon our country. God, we need your blessing. But there's something else in this passage about the blessings of God. Not only does God want to bless us, but as He blesses us, He wants us to bless others. Look with me at verse 22 here. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Moses, I want you to speak to Aaron and his sons. And this is what I want you to say, Aaron. This is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. So God says, Moses, I'm going to bless you. And Moses, I want you to bless the priests here, Aaron, who was the leader of the priests. And I want him, his sons, to be blessed. And I want him to bless all the children of Israel. They're leaving a legacy. The blessing isn't just for us. It's for us to extend into the life of others. I want you to bless these other people. And it's very important that we bless other people. Years ago, I read a book called The Blessing. Maybe you've heard of that very popular book a number of years ago. And the whole idea of the book was written by this counselor who said, I believe one of the biggest problems of why I meet with people is because they didn't feel the blessing from their parents. And he goes in and he talks about the blessings that the patriarchs provided to their children. And he said, if it was necessary in the Old Testament, it's necessary for us today as well, that we provide a blessing to our children. And one of the key verses he used was in Genesis 27, verse 34. And it's a passage where we see two children, Jacob and Esau, wanting to be blessed by their dad. Jacob has received the blessing, but Esau does not. And Esau comes on the scene in verse 34, and it says, when Esau heard the words of his father, hearing him blessing his other brother, he cried with exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, my father." He's saying, "I want your blessing." And maybe you didn't receive a blessing from your family. Some parents are very encouraging and some are very discouraging. Pastor Steve was talking last night to the young adults about dysfunctional families. And the reality is all of us have some type of dysfunction, right? Nobody has the perfect family. But blessing our children, communicating with positive reinforcement of the right things that should happen, that's what God calls us to do to our children. And maybe you didn't get it. Maybe you didn't have that example. Maybe your parents were divorced. Maybe they argued a lot. Maybe they weren't there for you. Maybe they worked all the time and weren't there. And you think, I don't even know the right way to do it. But God wants you to bless your children. Could you imagine our children being like Esau, saying, "Bless me, my father. I didn't get that blessing." And some of us dads, we said, "Man, my kids know I love them. Man, I work. I take care of them, I buy them these things. They know I love them." But the reality is, they may not. That's why Moses says in this passage, again, look at verse 23. "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way." And then he said, "Say to them." You've got to speak it. It's not enough just to say, "Well, I mean, they know my heart. If they don't, you know, it's their problem," or whatever. We've got to speak it. We've got to share it. The words that come out of our mouth can't be criticism, can't be the sarcasm, it can't be anger, it can't be this large volume. We need to speak these blessings into our children, into our grandchildren, into our siblings, to people around us. See, we came today realizing we need to be blessed, right? And the reality, we need to be blessed and we need to bless somebody else. I was just talking with a group of people that were wanting more information about choice, and we were talking about often people come to church to be served, right? They come to be blessed. But the reality is, and all that is good, but we also want to come to serve others. We want to come to bless others. We want to come to give to others, to minister to others, to show love to others, to accept others, right? Everybody's hurting. Everybody has needs in their life, and all of us need encouragement. Years ago from this platform, somebody shared a testimony, and they were talking about how their sibling criticized them a lot. And this sister said to her brother, "You are the worst brother ever." They were just crushed by all the criticism. And something happened. That day, the brother stopped criticizing. He never criticized his sister again. But the sad thing, for a long time, he didn't encourage either. There was just a void. There was an absence. And if we're not careful, maybe we're not providing the negative, but also maybe we're not providing the blessing as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you. May His countenance be there and to give you peace. So we offer that blessing to others. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 2. It's actually kind of a difficult verse to understand, but in the context, God is telling us how the Bible came about. And He's saying that through the Holy Spirit, He allowed people to pen the Word of God perfectly so we would know exactly what God thought. And here's what He says in 1 Corinthians 2:11. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" He's saying the only person that knows who you are is yourself. And that's not necessarily easy, is it, to figure our own selves out at times. And he's saying, only the spirit of man knows what's going on in man. The way you think, the way you feel, the decisions you make, you're the only one that really understands yourself. And nobody else knows it. And this is what he's inferring here, unless you share it with somebody else. Nobody's going to know what you're thinking unless you share it with somebody else. And the reality is sometimes that's why we don't share things, right? Because we don't want somebody else to know what's going on in the brain. I mean, they might lock us up or something, right? If they really know what's going on in there. Maybe if we start sharing those things, they're going to be mad. They're going to be upset. And so we just stay silent. And he's saying here, nobody knows what's going on in your mind except the spirit of man. And then he goes on and he says this in the last part. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. God is saying, the only way you can know about me is if my spirit tells you through the written word of God. The only way to really know God is through his word. It's not through our thoughts. It's not through following our heart. It's not us trying to figure out God. We can see certain things through creation, but that's limited. The only way to truly know God is how he has revealed himself through the spirit, which is the spirit wrote the scriptures. That's why we have God's word today. And we need to share what's going on within us. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. So we've got to speak and not be silent. We've got to speak the truth, don't be angry. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to say it in the right way. We need to be honest and not lie to people. We need to be open. See, if we're not open with people, we're not real with people, we put on this facade, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a church, whether it's in a friendship, you'll never be able to be close to someone. The same is true in our walk with God if we're not open and honest with him. And every one of us, we need the blessings of God. And when we do this, look at verse 27. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel. He's saying that they're going to get the right kind of identity when we start blessing our children properly, when we start blessing our friends accurately. See, when you have anger and hostility inside a relationship, we gather these feelings of rejection and anger and bitterness. Those things start building up. And when those things build up, we're not going to be understanding our identity. But when we begin to live these areas out, as Michelle was talking to us a little while ago, when we understand his identity, we put our name, we put his name on us. We really begin to understand that I am a child of God. You mean God wants to hear from me? See, I never have fear that that if I call my dad, he may not want to talk to me. Never thought, well, maybe sometimes when I was younger, maybe I did some things. But, you know, when I was a little punk, now I'm a great, wonderful son and stuff, but that's not the case. But, you know, there's never a time like, Dad, would you talk to me? Yeah, would you listen? Hey, son, what is it? You want to talk? You want to get together, whatever? Are you buying lunch? And he said, yeah, I'll buy lunch. I said, yeah, let's get together. You know, it's a great idea to do that. But anyway, I'm not afraid to go to my father. Why? Because he's my father. And there's no reason to fear going to our God, because remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven. He loves us. He desires to bless us. The power of the tongue can either create discouragement or encouragement. It can cause us to have a low view of ourselves, or we can have confidence. It creates affection, encouragement, and gratitude. I just want to ask you this. Is this what you're doing with your speech? You know, if you have toddlers, they keep you up at night, you're tired, you're trying to do things, you know, it can be very frustrating. And when we're frustrated, sometimes our speech isn't that gracious, right? Or as your kids grow up and deal with different phases and, you know, they're becoming more independent and make choices, sometimes we can be very frustrated. But when is the last time you encourage your kids? Or that you provided that encouragement that your grandchildren need? Or maybe it's a spouse or coworker. Are you offering blessings to other people? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore, comfort each other, and the word comfort just means encourage one another, and edify one another, and that just simply means to build other people up. So you want to have the right kind of relationships, you got to say things that build people up. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. How many people grew up in church? Like you went to church somewhat regularly. How many heard this verse quite a bit? You got to go to church, right? You got to go to, don't you miss church, right? Don't you not go to church. That's what the verse is saying. And you probably hear, don't forsake the assembling. You got to be in church. Now, I grew up, we went to Sunday school, we went to church, we went to Sunday night church, we went to Wednesday night church. And if you missed any of that, you know, the preacher, you are forsaking the assembling of yourself. You need to hear the preaching or whatever. But, and I'm fine with that. I mean, we need to go to church. But listen, I didn't understand the reason growing up. Look what this verse says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He's saying there's a lot of people that aren't going to church the way that they should be going, right? They got too many soccer games or volleyball games or whatever. I won't get off on that, okay? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why did the writer of Hebrews say, I want you to go to church? So you can be encouraged. So we come to church to find encouragement, to seek God's blessing, to seek the blessing of other people. And in verse 23, if we can just look at that verse as we conclude, he says, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless your children. This is how you bless them. And he goes down this list. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. May God grant you peace. You know, those are the things that we can do to those that God has called us to reach out to. This is the way. So just a couple thoughts I want to give you here as we wrap it up. Today we have a baptismal service. We're excited. One of our sister churches, Stafford Crossing, we have made a couple changes the way we're doing baptism, and they provided this baptismal pool. We had baptisms last week. Last night we had some baptisms, and again today. But baptisms don't wash your sins away. They have nothing. It's not holy water. It's just water. It actually probably has maybe you put a little bit of cleaner in it or something just to make sure it's in good shape, Jason, just so it smells good for us. But it's not holy at all. It's just clean water, all right? It's pretty good well water, actually. We're on a pretty nice well in Hartwood, too. But it's just water. And it doesn't wash our sins away, but it is an outward demonstration of what Jesus did when he died for us on the cross. That's how much he wants to bless you. That he came down to us. That he became a servant. And he not only served us, but he died for us. And he not only died for us, but he went through the death of the cross. The cruel, shameful death. That our sins could be forgiven. And so we're buried in the water, picturing the death of Jesus, and we resurrect out of that water, picturing that the resurrection of Jesus, he ascended to heaven, and he is our Savior, and we must acknowledge him to be our Savior. He's the only one that can get us to heaven. What an incredible blessing. If you want to get blessed in church, as important as it is to come on Sunday mornings, and I think it's vital that we, you know, are regular in our church attendance and being here, you don't get connected in the Sunday morning service. It's important to get on a ministry team and build relationships. It's important to get connected in a small group. We have a lot of small groups on our Wednesday night. This next Sunday night, so the 17th, we have a Thanksgiving dinner. We invite all of you to come. The church provides the main course, and we ask people that come to bring a side dish. And after the service, there's a table over here that you can go to and just sign up. Why would you come? Well, it's not for the ham or the side dishes or the desserts, which are pretty awesome. But the main reason to get together is just spend some time with other Christians. And so we invite you to come. Go ahead and sign up after the service. That would be great. Hang out for a few minutes afterward. I think there might even be some cookies from the event last night that they had left over. Young adults didn't eat. So it wasn't a teen activity because there wouldn't be any cookies left, I don't think. So the young adult, they still have some snacks, and so they left them out here. Hang out for a couple minutes and just get to know somebody. Just be a blessing to somebody and allow somebody to bless you. So thankful Pastor Steve talked about our veterans, those that have served in our country. And make sure you bless somebody. Thank them for their service. About 2 months ago, my son just graduated from basic training. And we were able to go off base. And we were walking through the middle of Los Angeles. Lackland, difference. San Antonio, yeah, that different place there. So, close, that's really close. Yeah, Virginia's for lovers. I get out of Virginia and I'm just lost. But yeah, I was in Texas. But I was walking with my son and he had his military uniform on, and an older gentleman walked up and he said, "Thank you for your service." And he just kept walking, and I looked at my son and said, "Is that the first time you've heard that?" And he said, "Yes." And boy, his face was beaming. You know, he was just so excited. And I was like, wow, powerful, right? Blessing somebody. And then last of all, who can you be an encouragement to? Maybe you need to tell your spouse how much you love them. Maybe you just need to take a couple minutes and find your kids doing right, because we can catch them doing wrong plenty of times. Let's catch them doing right and encourage them and build them up. Or maybe there's someone that you've criticized or you gossiped against or you've had anger toward, or you've just ignored them because you had something inside you. You just didn't want to be around them. And listen, you can't be blessed or be a blessing when you hold on to things like that. Who can you be an encouragement to today? And one other blessing is in the way of giving and serving. As you leave here today, there's a Christmas tree that's lit up and it has a bunch of angels on it. It's from a ministry called Angel Tree. And there's 30 families, 30 individuals that are in prison that they said, "Is there somebody that could buy a present for my children since I'm in prison?" They've made bad choices and it impacts their kids. And you have the opportunity to buy a present. You don't put your name on it. You don't put the church's name on it. You put their parents' name on it. There's a family, we've done this for a couple years. And the reality is, the grandparent says, "We're fine financially. We're going to get presents for our kids. It's all fine." And my wife made this call to this family again, said, "I understand, but your daughter just asked for a present to be in her name, and you can bless them." And they said, "Okay, yeah, that's fine." And we were able to drop these presents off, and the presents have their mom's name on them, and they can open it up Christmas morning as a present. And that's an incredible blessing, isn't it? We have a missionary that was with us not long ago, and he sent this note. You probably remember the Samson family. They talked about a baseball ministry, and they said, "Thanks for inviting us to be with you this past Sunday. It was a joy for us to visit the great people at Choice Baptist and get reacquainted with them. You all were a great encouragement to us and accommodated us well. Thank you for the love offerings and the delicious lunch after church. But the greatest joy was fellowshipping with the wonderful people there. They seemed to really love Jesus. Your joy and love is contagious. Also, thank you for taking an interest in helping us with our baseball ministry. We hope to see you all again soon. It would be a privilege to partner with you and to reach Russians for Jesus." He left us that day and he had to come home because his father was sick. He thought his dad had had a stroke or had dementia, and so he flew in. And since he was on the East Coast, he came to us Sunday and then went back to West Virginia to spend some time with his dad and get him in a nursing home. And they found out that it wasn't a stroke, it wasn't dementia, but he has a tumor on the brain. He only has about 2 months to live. And he had some terrible news, but you know, right before that, you were able to be a blessing to him. There were people that wrote him a love offering. There were people that were just there to be an encouragement, talk to him, how can we make a difference in this ministry? Last week I mentioned this as well. Here's another way we can be a blessing. There's a family in our church adopted this young girl in a wheelchair. And for her to be able to go outside and play, the family has to carry the wheelchair and her out so she can get on the ground and play. And some of the men, some of the leaders in the church got to talking recently and said, is there any way that we can build a ramp to give her the freedom just when she wants to, just to be able to take her wheelchair and just go out on her own? And so some of the guys that are good at construction have figured that out. We figured it's going to take about $1,000 in supplies, and there's many of the men of the church said, we're going to build that. And you can have part in helping that family out. And I'm going to give you one other area to bless, and this sermon's not about finances, but here's an opportunity for us. There's a family in our church. A couple years ago, she has a young sister with several young children. And she was diagnosed with a form of cancer that she's been dealing with. And she's been getting some bad news recently. They don't know how much time she has. And, you know, I assume we're talking years and, you know, not a lot longer than that. There's some families in the church that got together and began talking about this and said, wouldn't it be great if this family just had some funds to be able to go to some places and build some memories with your young kids? And they have a Facebook page and a way for you to get involved in that. And I said, you know, what a great thing for this church to bless another Christian mom and this family. And I hope you'll consider, if you have an extra $20 or $50 or $500 on the offering envelopes that are in seat in front of you, or if you give electronically, you can go. And there's a place called what we call the Philippian Fund. It's our benevolence fund. And we want to raise $3,000 or more to be able to bless these individuals. And if you would, this isn't going to go toward the church. None of this has anything to do with you giving to the church today, but just a way that you could bless someone. Wouldn't that be an incredible blessing that we can say to these other individuals, Jesus loves you, and we love you, and we want to bless you as well. And I hope you'll consider getting involved in that. But more than whether you give anything at all today, outside of giving a blessing, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're on your way to heaven? Do you have that settled in your heart that when you die that you're going to go to heaven? That's why we're here today, to tell people that Jesus loves them and you can have a home in heaven. And we just bow our heads for just a moment as we thank him for his blessing. As we ask him to speak to our hearts on how we can bless other people, and those getting baptized can go out at this time and prepare. But I know we have a good number of people that are here today that have never been to Choice Baptist before. And I don't want to just assume that you already know that you're going to heaven. You see, all of us have failed God. All of us have sinned, but he still loves us. He loves us so much that God gave up his son to die on the cross that you and I could have eternal life. And if we would repent and trust in Jesus Christ as the only way to get to heaven. God says it's a free gift, not of works. And by his grace, his favor, his blessing, you and I can have eternal life. If you don't have that settled in your life, you could just say this to our Savior. Mean it in your heart. Say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And right now, I ask you to come into my life and forgive my sins. I believe you died for me and rose again. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." Father, I pray that you would speak during this invitation. May we bless one another as you bless us. In Jesus' name.